Heavenly Father, it is my prayer at this time that the words of my mouth, the meditations of my heart, the hearing and understanding of those present would be acceptable in your sight now and forevermore. Amen. Now, the reason I cheated a little bit, and it kind of backfired on me, in reading the 23rd Psalm this morning, I remember years ago when I was asked to lead the worship at our church when we were going to Bellevue Methodist. Pastor Tom said to me, when you go up there and you lead the congregation in prayer and then do the Lord's Prayer, take a copy of the Lord's Prayer with you written down because you might forget it. Now, you know, the Lord's Prayer and the 23rd Psalm, these are things we've been repeating since we were children. How am I going to forget it? I did. I got up there and I got halfway through it and I couldn't remember what line came next. Fortunately, the whole congregation could remember it, so I was safe there. I was reading from the 23rd Psalm from my Bible just in case. And again, it kind of falls apart for me because I'm reading the NIV version and we all memorized it in King James. And the words are different. It's not just the these and thous. There's other words that are different too. For example, what we're looking at today, the NIV says, "He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake." And we all know that he leads us in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And it's more important, I think, that we look at leading rather than guiding. It's a much stronger word. A leader is stronger than a guide. And that's really what a shepherd does with his sheep, isn't it? He walks in front of them. He leads them. He shows them the way to go because the sheep don't know where they're going. They've got no idea. As far as they know, they're fine right where they are, unless they're scared, and then they'll just run off in any direction they choose. But the shepherd not only knows where they're going, he knows how to get there. So he leads them, and the sheep follow. So what kind of leader is God for us? Well, first of all, our faith is not a democracy. We don't get to decide necessarily what's right and what's wrong. You know, it's laid out for us pretty much here in Scripture, whether it's King James or NIV, it doesn't matter. It's here. We don't need committee meetings to decide what's right and what's wrong, because it's all laid out for us pretty clearly, I think. But at the same time, God's not a dictator. He tells us what's right and wrong, and he expects us to follow him. But we, being human beings, have been given free will and therefore the opportunity to stray from the path. I mean, if you just look in Jesus' own life, Judas betrayed him. Peter denied him. They were allowed to do those things. Just as we are technically permitted to sin, he lets us sin. He doesn't like that we do it. I'm trying to get the words out right. He doesn't like that we do it, but he allows us to do it. He doesn't want us to do it. He leads us in these paths of righteousness. And sometimes we're not content with the way we're being led, but it's really for our own best interests. During the Second World War, the British High Command had managed to decode the German codes, and they didn't want the Germans to know. One of the very first messages that they had received after breaking this code was that the German Air Force was planning a bombing raid on a town called Coventry. Coventry had a few hundred people in it, a small village, a few hundred people. Winston Churchill had a decision to make. He knew that this bombing raid was coming, but the Germans didn't know that he knew. He had the opportunity to evacuate the village. Doing this would have saved hundreds of lives. Or he could not tell anyone, let hundreds of people die, and keep the secret that they knew the code. So that the next time a message came through that something more devastating would happen, he would be prepared. He chose to go the second way. Hundreds of people died in that bombing raid, but eventually the fact that they knew the code ended up saving many thousands of lives. Not a popular decision, especially I would assume if you were living in Coventry at the time or had family there. But looking at the big picture of the war, the fact that the Allies knew this code ended up saving many thousands of lives rather than just a few hundred, and eventually brought about the end of the war. I think sometimes some of the decisions God makes for us, the paths he wants us to follow, maybe we don't want to go that way. Myself standing here before you, you know, imagine if you know, I know my mother would tell you, knowing me from 20 some years ago, when I decided to start going into ministry, did you think I'd be here? No. I remember announcing to my pastor that at the time when I was 16 or 17 years old that I wanted to go into ministry. And he said, well, first thing we'll do is we'll give you this personality test. It's the Myers-Briggs personality test that tells you things about yourself you're not supposed to know. I don't know how that stuff works, but he gave me this test. And I remember he checked the answers and everything to see what it said about me. And he said, well, you know, according to this, you don't have the personality to be a pastor. Well, I was kind of disappointed by that because I felt that that's where God was leading me. And then he said to me, don't worry about it. Neither do I. But here I am. She said that my grandmother said that I will lead the longest silent prayer that anyone ever heard. But it's God leading me here. Just as he led me into prison ministry where I didn't want to go. He leads us. He shows us the way he wants to go. He leads us in paths of righteousness. Righteousness is doing the right thing. I mean, we've got the opportunity, as I said before, we've got this free will that lets us do the things that we want to do, but he shows us where he wants us to go, to do the right thing, the right thing. That's the easiest way, I think, to remember what righteousness is doing the right thing. He tells us what that is. He leads us that way. You ever get that? You're about to do something you know you shouldn't ought to do, and you get that little nagging feeling somewhere, usually down around here, that tells you you better stop. You know, sometimes we call that a conscience, but it's as Christians, we can believe that that is God reminding us to do the right thing. I think as the conscience is a universal thing, and God's with everyone, even if they don't want to admit it, and he can explain to them as well in similar ways what's right and what's wrong. You see, there throughout the world and in every culture, there are universal things that are considered to be right. God speaks not only to his people, but to all people, trying to lead them to him. Some follow, some do not, but he leads us in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And we have to understand that the things he leads us to do, this righteousness, we're doing for him. When it says that we're doing it for his name's sake, it means that we're doing it for him. We call ourselves Christians, followers of Christ. That's what it means. He's leading, we're following, we're Christians. And we wear that in such a way that we hope people will see it. We want to live our lives in such a way that they can see what we're doing, not for our glory, but for his. You know, the fact is, I'm not here to be popular. I'm here to do what God wants me to do. You know, there have been times in my life where I'd just as soon be forgotten. I would just as soon be forgotten. I don't like to be noticed. I don't like to bring attention to myself. Yet here I am standing up. I got a microphone. I'm standing here talking to people, making sure folks can hear me. Robin can tell you that I'd rather disappear in the crowd most of the time, rather be forgotten. But not long ago, I really kind of came to terms with, you know, what kind of legacy do I want to leave? And it used to be just forget about it. But I want to be remembered now, not for anything, not for me, but I want to be remembered as God's man. If there comes a time when anybody is looking back and remembering old Pastor Colin, I want to be remembered as God's man. If nothing else, that's fine. For nothing I've done, but for where he's led me and for where I've gone following him. For his name's sake, not my own. Everything else you can forget. That would be okay with me. But we need to remember to follow. And again, that's our choice. He is leading. We talk about the Christian walk and we talk about following him. I mean, these are just regular catchphrases of our faith, our Christian walk, and we are following him, following his teachings. Are we really, is my question. Are we following the shepherd or are we following the herd? Sheep are in herds, right? Flock, following the flock. Or are we straying out on our own? You know, we refer to ourselves in this example as sheep, because as I've said, sheep are not that bright. We are following someone, probably. The question is, are we following him? I know that oftentimes a pastor is referred to as the shepherd of the flock. But I'll tell you right now, you probably shouldn't ought to be following me. I'm doing my best to follow the shepherd. And if you want to follow me that way, keep your eyes on him. I'm going to make mistakes. And if I fall in the river, I don't want people following me into the river. If I step off the cliff, I don't want people following me there. That's why I say it's important to pay attention to what the preacher's saying. And that's even me. Pay attention to what I'm saying. But make sure I'm saying the right thing, because if I'm saying something wrong, I need to be called on it. I need to be told I'm wrong. And that goes for any preacher. It doesn't matter if they're on TV even. As a matter of fact, maybe doubly so if they're on TV, based on what I've seen some of the TV preachers saying. You got to make sure that they're following the shepherd as well. Bless you. He's leading. Are we following? Amen.
This program has been copyrighted under the Creative Commons Attributes Non-Commercial Share Alike License. For additional information about Faith Community Christian Church or to contact Pastor Colin, please visit our website at www.faithc3.org.
The benediction is the good and final word, and we put that at the end so you don't miss what came in front of it. And trust and obey are pretty good final words, but I think for us, it's follow. He leads, we're to follow. And we'll probably stray. I mean, Jesus knew himself that Judas was going to betray him, and he knew that Peter was going to deny him, but he loved them anyway, even knowing that this is what they were going to do. And even after they did it, he still loved them. Judas would have had forgiveness if he'd sought it. Peter did seek forgiveness, and he received it and became one of the great leaders of the church. We will probably, at the very least, disappoint him, but he still loves us, and he will still love us afterwards. We seek forgiveness, we will receive it. We just need to get back on the path. It doesn't matter how many times you fall down, as long as you get up again. We just need to remember, and I think we need to think about it every day and repeated times throughout the day. Are we really following him? Are we keeping our eye on the shepherd? Because if we don't, we will get lost. Trust me, I've been there. This service is over. Your service may now begin. Go from this place and be blessed. Amen.